People want to dream big and discover the path to life's riches. Now, that's up to you. Whatever you think riches is, that's your definition. There's a survey that says riches and success is being happy. Well, all you have to do then is determine what is it that makes you happy and start down that path. Now, to find true success, I believe that you've got to do some work, because it's not free. Everybody would love to wake up and just be happy and bubbly, but it requires some work. So I want to share with you something from my book, chapter 11. There is no self-made man. Now, most of us want to believe that we're independent, that if we set our minds to do something, simply it can get done. Well, I got news for you. Unless you look to others, you can work twice as hard to get half as much. Sometimes you need a partner in a deal in order to aid you along the way. There is nothing wrong with asking for what you want. You know, for a long time, I used to think that the path to success was going at it alone, because I was always busy priding myself on not asking for help. I was homeless. I didn't want to ask for help. I lived in a car. I didn't want to ask for help. And I almost missed out. I didn't realize how many people were willing to have discussions with me about success. You know, most people that are successful, if you ask them for help, they'll give it to you. I'm talking about advice, principles, solutions, not money. See, one thing is never a good idea. Don't walk up to a wealthy person and just ask for money. You know how many times they didn't got that? But if you're interested in learning how to fish, a lot of people that teach you how to fish, as opposed to giving you a fish sandwich, because they know if they give you the fish sandwich, you're going to eat it, you're going to have to come back. A lot of people have helped me along the way. Magic Johnson, Oprah Winfrey, the president. I've had some conversations with some people who have it together, and they've taught me many things about succeeding. Now, you might think that requesting help is a huge ask, but it's not. People don't mind sharing knowledge. What is knowledge unless it's shared? If you have knowledge, but you never share it, how we know you got it? And just remember, there is no shame in wanting something. This whole world is based on wanting something. You know, don't sit up and listen to some group, you know, wanting something is a sin. No, it's not. You got to want something. The scripture says a man without a dream or vision shall perish. So the day you quit wanting something, you might as well push your chips up to the window. It's a wrap. So lose the shame and you'll have access to more power. And so here's the key that I want you to tell you about. Success is all about building relationships. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Some people might not step up when you ask them for help. They might not. But guess what? The worst thing can happen to you. If somebody refuses you, you didn't have it anyway. Well, what are you worrying about that for? Well, they might say no, or they might turn me down. Ask people. You never know. Suppose they say yes. That could be the turning factor. But, you know, there are some principles that will increase your chances of getting a success. Know your worth. Don't let nobody else determine it. And don't assume anything. People aren't mind readers. They don't know what you think. And don't assume they know unless you ask with specifics. And then recognize that no is not a rejection. You got to get tunnel vision to reach your goal. You have to put blinders on and say, I'm laser beam focused on this. But know this, the road to success is always under construction. So just knowing when you strike out on your goal, you're going to have to get ready for flexibility, because it's going to be detours, pitfalls, stop signs, men working, delays, detours going around. That has to be expected.
And failure means what?
Failure means you've now learned another valuable lesson that pushes you one step closer to success.
And means going another direction. It means you have to go in another direction.
Failure is not the end all.
No.
People keep getting buried under failure. I bet you that you have failed more times than anyone in this room.
Absolutely.
I promise you have. I'm willing to bet that I have failed more times than anyone in this room, because I have attempted so many things that you have no idea what I've attempted and failed at. But I don't let the failures define
it's me. God pointing you in another direction.
It's clear about that, and you've got to be willing to to go with that bend, because that bend in the road is the only way. Success is not a straight line.
It is not.
My goal before leaving the planet is to reduce the number of kids that are impacted by autism, to find a cure for autism, to work to raise money and to raise awareness, to eradicate it from the planet before I leave here. What's your goal? What's your dream? What is it you want to do with your life? Dr. Joelle Martin said something that I love. She said, what would the world be like if everybody lived their dream? Here's what I found about life. It's not as complicated as I used to make it. I think that life is about dreams and stories. Everything that exists, the world at one time was barren, but everything that exists, hotels, planes, they weren't here. Everything that we see every day, computers, all of the things that we see, someone had a dream. Someone had a dream of a person standing on stage and their voice being amplified so they don't have to scream and yell and can be heard by thousands. Someone had that dream of how to transport us from one place to the other quickly and safely. The clothes you have on, where you're now seated, all came out of somebody's dream, the world's greatest achievement. What is your dream? I said that you have something special. I didn't say that just to be kind. I said it because it's true. You are God's chosen vessel. You were chosen. One out of 400 million sperm. You have something in you that when you were chosen, when you showed up, there's something in you that if you don't do it, all of us will suffer. Repeat after me, please. Live full.
Live full.
Die empty.
Die empty.
Let's say it again. Live full.
Die empty.
Dr. Howard Thurman, one of the mentors of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Albert Schweitzer and Mahatma Gandhi, he was a very brilliant writer. He wrote some things that really grabbed me. He wrote, deep is the hunger, the voice of the genuine, the centering moment. During the time after receiving 238 radiation seed implants, I was reflecting on his words, and these words kept me up that night. He said, the ideal situation for a man or woman to die is to have family members praying with them as they cross over. He said, but imagine, if you will, being on your deathbed and standing around your bed, the ghost of the dreams, the ideas, the abilities, the talents given to you by life, and that you, for whatever reason, you never went after that dream. You never acted on those ideas. You never used those talents. You never used those gifts. And there they are standing around your bed looking at you with large angry eyes saying, we came to you and only you could have given us life. And now we must die with you forever. And the question is, if you die today, what dreams, what ideas, what talents, what books, what music, what leadership, what voice will die with you?
And many of these lessons, I got to tell you, I absolutely learned the hard way. And one of the toughest lessons is also one of the most important that I've attained along the way. It's a lesson that everyone watching can benefit from. Chapter 13, never be afraid to reinvent yourself. My career, my entire career is a study in reinvention. You know, I started out as a comedian. That was it. I never planned on hosting a radio show, hosting a game show, or hosting a daytime talk show. I never did. Writing books, none of it. Making movies, none of it. Reinvention happens when you diversify your gift. There lies your greatest secret for success. You've got to discover your gift. And when you discover it, you got to soak it. You got to wring it out, man. You got to diversify it. Most of us only have one talent. But do you know that that's all you need? Mine happens to be to take information and immediately transfer it into other kinds of platforms. Now, when I was younger, I actually thought that I could only do that with comedy. But as I've gotten older, I discovered through diversification that it was a little bit more than that, that I could also take information immediately, transfer it into inspiration. I could turn it into motivation. And many of these lessons, I got to tell you, I absolutely learned the hard way. And one of the toughest lessons is also one of the most important that I've attained along the way. It's a lesson that everyone watching can benefit from. Chapter 13, never be afraid to reinvent yourself. My career, my entire career is a study in reinvention. You know, I started out as a comedian. That was it. I never planned on hosting a radio show, hosting a game show, or hosting a daytime talk show. I never did. Writing books, none of it. Making movies, none of it. Reinvention happens when you diversify your gift. There lies your greatest secret for success. You've got to discover your gift. And when you discover it, you got to soak it. You got to wring it out, man. You got to diversify it. Most of us only have one talent. But do you know that that's all you need? Mine happens to be to take information and immediately transfer it into other kinds of platforms. Now, when I was younger, I actually thought that I could only do that with comedy. But as I've gotten older, I discovered through diversification that it was a little bit more than that, that I could also take information, immediately transfer it into inspiration. I could turn it into motivation. I can offer it as guidance. So now, sitting on a talk show, I actually have something to talk about. All the failed marriages. I got something to talk about. The being homeless. I got something to talk about. Being dead broke. I got something to talk about. Having bad credit. Tax problems. I got something to talk about. Whatever hole you've been in, I just about drug myself through it. But I came out of all of it because I was not afraid to diversify my gift. Even the book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, it was all about me diversifying a gift. Okay, I had taken two failed marriages and I had taken the love for my daughters and I combined those things. I taught my daughters what I knew about men. Now, little did I discover that I had a little over 4 million daughters in this country, cousins and nieces and stuff like that, who needed that same information. And that was a huge part for me to take that information and turn it into a book, that turned it into a mega star movie that, and it produced a lot of things for me, but it also helped a lot of people. One of the other tricks for reinventing yourself is not letting your background become a limitation. If you take that background that you're from and never let it define you, but allow it to redefine you, all that stuff works for the good. Do you understand that you needed everything that's happened to you to happen to you in the exact order that has happened in order for you to be the person that you are today? All that failing and getting over, you needed all of that. So it's good to be steeped in the traditions of your gift, but don't get stuck in them. Look, if your gift is baking, don't assume that there's only one way to do it. If you bake, bake. But you can't just bake for people you know. Bake for people you don't know. You're a musician. Let yourself explore other types of music.
And so, as you look at your goals and dreams, every day we must convince ourselves, we must sell ourselves on that it's possible. Every seminar, every workshop, every book that I've ever read, every speaker that I've ever heard, it interrupted what I was believing about myself. Everything that you do, everything matters. As you go through each day, I know now as I look back at age 63, looking at my life, everything matters. T. Harv is right. How you do anything is how you do everything. And I realized that the choices I was making was based upon how I saw myself. Let us say together, it's necessary. Write that down. It's necessary as you look at your goals and your dreams, it's necessary that you have a strategy and a game plan to change the story that you believe about yourself. And that's an ongoing process. I've discovered, and many people have, that what we do, what we accomplish, what we produce is a result of the story we believe about ourselves. My favorite book says, be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so as I began to work on myself, I realized that I'm getting out of one story and stepping into another story. As I become aware of some things, there's still some things I'm not aware of. So I'm still growing. I'm still developing. I'm like the lady who said, Lord, I ain't what I want to be, ain't what I'm going to be, but thank God I sure ain't what I was. But I realize that you have to work on yourself on a regular basis, and write this down, for mental mindset and stamina. Because things are going to happen to you. I believe that the reason that most people go to their graves with their talents and abilities and skills in them is because of the fact, number one, many are like me. They didn't know that they didn't know and thought they knew. I thought I knew myself, and I really didn't know myself as well as I thought. I've discovered that sometimes people can take you to a place within yourself that you can't go by yourself. The other reason is I was afraid. I never worked for a major corporation. I wanted to speak for corporations. I was afraid I would be exposed because I don't have a college education. I felt inferior because of the fact that I don't have a college education. I allowed that level of fear of failure to stop me. And because I never had any experience in it, I assumed that I could not do it. I was paralyzing myself by believing and assuming the limited part of myself, as opposed to believing that I had something special. You have something special. There's something you want to do. Because you don't know how to do it doesn't mean that you can't learn. I like something that I heard. You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. Repeat after me, please. Leap and grow your wings on the way down. See, the people that will live their dreams, the 2% that will do that, these are, and write this down, become a risk taker. They're risk takers. They don't mind failing. They don't mind making mistakes. They're willing to take life on, take life in the collar. This God said, if you're not willing to risk, you cannot grow. And if you cannot grow, you cannot become your best. And if you cannot become your best, you can't be happy. And if you can't be happy, then what else is there? I like what Helen Keller said. She said, life is short and unpredictable. Eat the dessert first. Here's something else. Write this down. Make it important to become financially independent. You know, people say money won't make you happy, but everybody want to find out for themselves. A friend of mine, Rita Davenport, said money's not important, but it's right up there with oxygen. And let me tell you something, fellas, even if you're as homely as I am, you got some money, some women will find something cute on you. Oh, he's got eyelashes like Tom Cruise. He's got a walk like Denzel Washington. You know, I used to be so broke, I'd walk past a bank and trip the alarm. Creditors would call a house and my children would answer the phone and say, my daddy say he's not home. Repeat after me, please. I'll never be broke again. Never, never, never. Yeah, see, ladies and gentlemen, it makes a difference. The only time I really appreciated having money was when my mother became ill. I was a state legislator in Columbus, Ohio, from the 29th House District, Whitehall in the Upper Linden area. And my brother called me and said, Leslie, yes, Mama's been sick and we're going to put her in a nursing home. I said, wait a minute, Wesley, we can't do that. Get Margaret Ann on the phone. She's on the phone. Get Linda and Leonard. They're all here, Leslie. Listen to me. Mama used to work in a nursing home. She said she never wanted to go into one. I promised her when I was 10 that I would take care of her. We would do whatever was necessary to take care of her. He said, we knew you would feel like that. And this is why we did such a thorough job interviewing the various nursing homes. And we have found the one that's ideal. And Mama would love them. I said, hold it, just a minute. She didn't clean their behinds. She took care of us. See, I had a problem. I couldn't understand how one woman, third grade education, 46, domestic worker on Miami Beach, can raise 7 children who couldn't take care of themselves, but 7 children couldn't take care of one woman. I had a problem with that. So I resigned from the Ohio legislature and I went back to Miami to take care of Mama. And I'll never forget taking her to Jackson Memorial Hospital. And when we went in, the receptionist said, as she looked at My mother looked at me. She didn't say, how are you doing? Are you uncomfortable? Are you in any pain? My mother at that time, she was in her 70s. The lady just said, what kind of insurance do you have? And I stepped forward and I said, she has Les Brown Unlimited. Give my mother what she needs. I can write a check for it. It gives you choices. It determines the difference in life and death, ability to afford health care, the quality of education that you can provide for your children, the ability to make a difference in the community. I'm doing training with young people in an area of Chicago called Englewood, where more young men have been killed in Englewood than in the Iraqi war, teaching them how to develop their minds, how to develop their communication skills, how to dress like a prospect rather than a suspect. How to stay away from negative people and develop the skills to make it in a global economy. Money makes it possible for me not to have to depend upon some government and agency to make that happen. So as you look at yourselves, make it important that you find some way to use your talents and gifts to generate the income that allow you to control your destiny. I read something that said, either you control your destiny or someone else will. Here's the other thing. Repeat after me, please. Take care of myself. Yes, yeah, so you got to take care of yourself. I'm 63. I can do 140 push-ups nonstop after warming up. I couldn't do that when I was 20 years old. And the reason that I do that, the exercise reduces the possibility of cancer reoccurring by 32% or spreading by 30%. It helps to reverse the aging process and keeps you younger, keeps your mind sharper. And allow me to take care of my temple so I can continue to do my work. So that you can continue to do the good work that you were sent here to do. So you got to make it important to take care of yourself. Put that at the top of the list. Because you can't do well and can't do good work if you don't feel good. We don't want to be like the man who said, if I'd known I'd live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself.